If you think playing the late-night crowd at the Comedy Store is hard, imagine doing stand-up in the middle of the Egyptian desert with a vendor hawking oranges standing next to you. If you're Ross Noble, exotic travel and comedy are a perfect pair. Noble's a successful British comedian, and he's also the host of Ross Noble Goes Global, a radio show from the BBC. Noble told Anne Strangechamps the show is based on a simple idea. Go somewhere, totally out of the way, do virtually nothing to blend in with a local culture, and then turn the whole thing into comedy. A tiny township in South Africa is a perfect example.
They were eating sheep's heads cooked in whiskey, and we walked in, and it was basically, it was a tin shack, no stage or anything, and the bar was just a metal, it had like a sort of like metal bars, and they were handing sort of the money through, and then the whiskey would be handed out, bottles of whiskey, and everyone was sat there, instead of eating like sort of chips and dips and stuff, they were eating loaves of bread, just kind of, you know, so...
So what did you do that night?
Well, that night there was quite a lot of stuff about just how dangerous it was, really. Because, you know, I don't know if you've been over there, but, you know, there's quite a lot of people with guns. So it was... I forgot I was talking to an American there. That's no different, is it? You probably thought, yeah, and? But to us, that's kind of... you're frightfully rough. But yeah, so that was kind of the basis of the show there.
I read something about the South Africa trip. It said you talked to somebody called the Whale Crier of Hermanus.
Oh yeah, yeah, forgot about that. Yeah, there was a guy. He was his job was basically the whales would come in and sort of circle in this big bay. It was like their mating time, which is a bit weird, you know, because I think if you're a whale, you'd kind of want your privacy, not some bloke turning up with a big trumpet, kind of going, look, they're at it. They're doing it in the bay. You know, I mean, I like that personally. In fact, I can't get involved with anyone unless there's a trumpeter in the bedroom. But yeah, this guy, his job was to, if he sort of blew on the trumpet, it was like, and that would mean there's a whale, and two toots on the trumpet would mean like there's two whales, or three was like they're in the South Bay, and four was in the... and I did point out to this guy that he could just stand there and go, look, there's some whales over there. But he went, no, it's my job to toot this horn, you know.
And do people know what the what
well,
the calls
I are? Well, I have some different codes, then they know exactly where I'm referring to.
Right, where the whales are.
Then I blow my horn, one. Right. Two, breaks two. And then fix pool.
No, but I have many different calls. If I do this, that means there are whales on this part of the beach. If I go, there are whales on that part of the beach. I can see the whales! They're just there! And he had the audacity to call himself the official whale crier. How many bogus whale criers have there been in the Hermanus area? How many people have wandered into the town and thought, I can do that, I'm going to get a bit of a job, yeah, I'm going to do it. I've brought my own horn. Deliberately pretending there's whales where there shouldn't be. What does that mean? It means there's a whale over there in that cafe. Enjoying a cappuccino. You lads could go up there. That could mean... There's a whale. And then you could do a bit of light jazz. And the people of the Hermanus would walk up and go, tell us, jazz whale criers. What does that mean? It means there's whales over there, chilling.
So what, and then everybody comes out to look at the whales?
Yeah, and everyone knows where to look. You know, it's just like one toot for whales, three toots for, you know, they're over there, four toots for they're over there, a bit of light jazz if they're really going at it. And it just, you know, and so people like him, you know, where we just kind of find people like that, chat to them in the daytime, and then obviously go on stage at night and then talk about, you know, the fact that the town's employed a whale crier, you know.
Is funny the same no matter where you go? I mean, are the same things always funny, or do you sometimes have trouble, you know, translating a sense of humour?
The only time it's ever been a major problem translating, I mean, was when I was playing in Amsterdam and I was trying to talk about Velcro. But, you know, in Amsterdam, the Dutch have no idea what Velcro is. I mean, they understand the concept of it and they have it, but they call it klittenbund. And it doesn't matter, because I think the British have this thing where we basically just sort of, we go abroad, and if people don't understand us, we tend to just repeat ourselves loudly and just kind of go, you know, Velcro, come on, man. And then in the end, somebody worked it out from me spending about 10 minutes going, you know, and people thought I was like, what, gravel? Is it gravel? What, are you pulling your fingers across a blackboard? And what is it, a tiger that's got something trapped in its throat? And this went on, and people are translating. And then eventually, just like this one guy down the front went, is it perhaps the klittenbund? And everyone went, ah, klittenbund! And there was this rousing chorus of klittenbund, klittenbund, ah, klittenbund! And it was like some kind of, it was like some war hero had returned, you know? Gustav Klittenbund, like, ah, klittenbund, ah! You know, it was, and then they got the joke, and so they're all laughing, and it's sort of, you know, and the whole thing was just, and I was actually more confused than they were by the end of it. Because, you know, if you're talking about firing a monkey out of a cannon, that's pretty much universal. You know, everyone knows what a monkey is, everyone knows what a cannon is, and that in itself is hilarious, you know, which tends to be the way that my act goes. But, you know, if you need to know the specific, that's the only place where it's a problem.
So I suppose miscommunications and glitches like that just wind up making good fodder for the show.
You can get very British about it and go, well, this simply isn't acceptable. We're working for the British Broadcasting Corporation. But, you know, it's all very... You know, that's half the fun of it, you know. It's like when we went to Egypt and we were doing, we did a gig for the Bedouins. That's my favourite one. We just, in the middle of a desert, you know, again, no stage, we just did it in the sand. And the only power that we had was this generator, which kept breaking down. So we were doing a sound check to just make sure that the, you know, setting up all the recording equipment and stuff. And I went on then, I went, right, okay, one drum, and the whole thing just went, vroom. And of course the lights went out. There was only one light anyway. It was like a sort of, you know, something you'd have in your backyard, you know, just like taped to a post. Whole thing, vroom, off it went. And I was just left, and you know, when it goes dark in the desert, you know, it's not just, oh, it's a little bit dark. There was nothing for it, probably for about 100 miles all around. There was no light.
How many people were there?
Probably about 50 or 60. And half of them were actual Bedouin people. And that was mad because they just didn't understand. They had no concept of the idea of comedy. There was a real sort of... I was just halfway through the show and a guy walks up with a tray full of oranges. And he goes, ah, my friend, you like oranges? You like the... And I'm going, I'm sort of talking. And the guy was like, no problem at all, my friend. They are very good oranges, very good oranges. And then another guy starts setting up a stall and he's kind of going, I have shirt for sale, shirts for sale. And like shouting at the audience. And he thought that I was just some sort of... I think he thought I was like some sort of market trader that was basically didn't have his stuff on display and was just telling people about my goods or something, you know.
Ross, when you go to a new place, what kind of preparation do you do to get geared up to do comedy?
Very little, to be honest with you. The best way I find is, the best thing to do is just jump in a cab, point it somewhere on the map, usually trying to go from the airport to your hotel to a sort of a specific location to the centre of town. And then from there to the show, that's usually enough to, you know, because it never goes the way you plan. You always end up, you know, like, where did we go? In Shanghai. When we went to Shanghai, we got in a cab. Guy took us miles out of our way and just dropped us for no reason at all in some red light district, you know, just in all these, just went, there you go, just assumed, you know, because we were a couple of Europeans that got off the plane, he just went, oh, that's where they must have asked for. So you know, you just kind of walk around the streets, and usually it's kind of... Because like I say, I just kind of, you know, I kind of talk about whatever's going on and stuff just happens, you know.
Welcome to Shanghai.
Thank you very much.
Where are you from?
From England. From
England.
London. Yeah.
How
London.
Long were you staying in China?
A week.
A week? Do you can you understand me?
Yeah.
Do you understand Spanish? Hola,
Spanish? No. There's a group of what look like 80-year-olds doing Tai Chi manoeuvres.
just hundreds of pensioners in the park, all with, you know, what have you? You lot don't get up early, do you? No, just thousands and thousands of pensioners all just standing around, and some of them completely still. Presumably, practice for being in the post office.
It's an incredibly surreal sight to basically see hundreds and hundreds of pensioners. It's like being in a weird kung fu movie, Attack of the Ninja Pensioners.
If they can catch you, they will kill you.
So what did you talk about that night in Shanghai?
Oh, well, I was talking about what happens kind of... I went to a market, and as all these guys, they sell sort of dodgy DVDs and stuff, and we got kind of led into somebody's house to, you know, and they come up and they sort of go, CD, DVD, CD, DVD. And at first I kind of thought that it was... I didn't realise that they were saying CD, DVD. I thought they were saying CD, DVD, you know, CD, DVD. You know, like, do you want something CD? You know, so I was kind of quite confused by the whole, why there was lots of men trying to sell me pornography. CD, DVD? No, I'd rather have Disney CDs, actually. Yeah.
Ross Noble is a British comedian and the host of the BBC radio show Ross Noble Goes Global. He spoke with Anne Strangeshaves.